finish the Bible study. Amen. I'm just going to come back here real quick, little brother, okay? Sister Eileen, how you doing? Amen. All right. Glory, glory, glory. All right, church. It sure is a blessing to see you that are here tonight. And I want to thank you for hanging in there. Our technical difficulties, we had a breaker. But now we know which one it is. So for all of y'all who can help me remember, it is going to be breaker box 1 near the front door 3. Breaker box 1 near the front door 3. So everything's good. If you guys want to turn the AC on again, it's fine. I think it's just for some reason, once again, this time around, the hot water running and the coffee. That's all. But we should be good to go if you guys want that AC on because it is hot. Amen. So anyways, I just want to thank you guys out for coming on here tonight. It sure is a blessing. Sure appreciate you where we left off. I was just going to share with you some friendly announcements. And so once again, keep us in prayer. My wife and I were working today, beginning to move. So praise God. I ordered these door tracks and they came in and they look phenomenal. So tomorrow, if you have an opportunity, 11 o'clock, prayer here, get our door tracks, go finish the door soul winning. We finished off on, there is a street there, church, you guys know, Fusat. Right before Fusat, it's Airport Road. There's the Mosin gas station. And then when you guys drive that whole neighborhood, that's where my wife and I started. So we're going to finish soul winning the island because there's houses literally like on an island. We finished all the right-hand side last Saturday and then finished a little bit on the left-hand side, a little rain, amen, but it was all good. And so now we're going to finish the island. And so if you can join us tomorrow, that should be a blessing. And then you guys already know, go downtown to the beach for about another hour and a half or so. And then we'll call it a day around 2:30. And if anybody would like to be a blessing, you're more than welcome to help my wife and I move. Nobody's forced, amen. Sure would appreciate that. But we got a lot of the outside stuff done today. I'm going to just need some men to volunteer to help me with the trailer. I'm going to probably ask the brothers out here because we need like 4 men because I got to push the trailer over, if you will. That's the most difficult. Everything else is just inside stuff. I think the big thing is just the couch. The rest of the stuff my wife and I can do, which is literally clothes. That's all it is. So the couch is pretty much it. So tomorrow after we're done soul winning, we're going to get a load and bring it back to Doña Marta's and enjoy the rest of the night. Amen. And then Sunday church, keep on going. So that's kind of my personal announcement as well as ministry announcement. And then Lord willing, we'll see you guys back here for the Sunday service. Amen. So those are the announcements here, guys. And then just friendly reminder, we've been announcing it for the past month or so, starting on the 23rd, Friday, all the way through the 1st of October. Brother Ed is going to be coming all the way from Deland, Florida. So, guys, I'm looking forward to it. Most likely that Friday night he may rest. We're not sure. Obviously, he's going to be time-lagged 3 hours ahead. But the 24th, soul win, he'll be ministering to us the 25th, ministering the 28th. Soul winning on the Thursday because I want to see that brother. He's a soul winner. He's a phenomenal soul winner. Public outreach, public preaching. That brother goes. They go to the Daytona Beach where there's thousands. They go to UFC. He goes everywhere. So he's a good soul winner. Friday, that'll be our last day with him. So what we want to do is have like a special dinner fellowship here at the church. Friday, we'll have some food because Saturday morning I got to take him back to LAX with my wife, and then and officially the first. And the 2nd of October, we're officially out of our new place, out of our old place. So we'll just be cleaning, if you will, taking that day off. But so don't forget, church, the 23rd through the 1st, try to make the last week of September available for fellowship after you get it to work. If anybody wants to offer dinner, if anybody wants to just go out of the way to be a blessing, again, that's just kind of what we want to do to say thank you to Brother Ed for leaving his family to come be a blessing to us here to minister. Get your questions ready. He's a phenomenal wealth of knowledge. He has Bible Q&A on his KJV Bible Scope on YouTube, so you guys are more than welcome to tap into that mind when he comes here. Study blogs have been a blessing. I've been getting a lot of positive feedback from folks online, and today was that God still cares about the wayward. And I know you guys were singing, Brethren, we met to worship. I don't know if you guys heard that stanza in their church, but what does it say? To seek the wanderer? What does it say there? It says to let them know that, what does it say here, church? It says, seek the trembling mourners, struggling with sin. And then it says here later, where does it say here? gosh. Tell them he, okay, so, yes, so they, okay, so we're here. Join us in prayer for the sisters. Oh, who the saints who've wandered, who were once near Christ our Lord, but they have denied the Savior and need fellowship restored. Today's devotion for the brothers, if you guys read it, is the exact same principle. So let me just go ahead and read it to you today. Deuteronomy 4:30 through 31. The Bible says, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he swore unto them. Do you see there? And so here's the message. Christian friend, here's another great lesson for us to learn. I'd like to share some application with you from this Old Testament text, although it was written in context unto the nation of Israel, not the New Testament church. The Bible says that we can gain instruction from all scripture. All right, so if you find yourself straying from the love of God in your heart, much like the wayward son in Luke 15, who took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living, it is not too late to repent and call out to God for his mercy to help you return back to him in your heart and return back to the narrow road of righteousness. Here's what the younger son realized over time. His heart was, and I reworded this later, but his heart was convicted of his sin by his conscience. Quote, here's what the young man said in Luke 15. Remember the prodigal? You guys heard about that through your messages. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. So Christian friend, may I remind you that your heavenly father is a God of compassion and mercy. He's not willing that you perish in your carnal and wayward living. And much like the father's heart was for his young son, likewise, spiritually, here's how the father would respond to the wayward Christian. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. It's never too late to return to God, to restore your walk with him in obedience. I once was a wayward child too for a while. Once I came to my senses by responding to the convincing of my sin by the Spirit's drawing, I repented after a godly sort. And praise God, I've been back in the Father's house, clothed, merry, and enjoying this restored walk with my Heavenly Father. God is good. So I'm so glad you guys sang 881 because that was today's devotion about the wayward child. Amen. And you know what's amazing lately? I've been telling you guys here at church that I've been asking the Lord to put wayward children in my path. I have a heart to restore the carnal Christian. I have a heart to restore those that have wandered from the Lord. And I've been meeting them at the laundromat. I've been meeting them at the mechanic shop. I've been meeting them at the houses, door knocking. And so I'm just glad that the Lord can use us to help restore people back to him. Amen. All right. Most important announcement, church prayer. You guys already know. Please submit your prayer request here online. And live stream links, you guys already know. Giving, et cetera, et cetera. Y'all already know. All right, guys. How's everybody's week going? Good. 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 A little hot. Is it back to normal? Cool. Okay. It's because they were singing. Amen. All right. Appreciate you guys forbearing that blackout. Amen. You know what's cool real quick? Let me just encourage you with this word. The brother who helped me right now to get our power back on, his name is Elder Munger, right? You know what he said to me? He said, bro, it's not about the show. He's like, it's not about the show. You need to minister to your people. He's like, I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to help you out. He's like, that's what it's about. You ministering to your people. I'm going to take time. We're going to find out. Don't worry, Brother Carlos. We're going to help you out. He's like, the show, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? And that's how he talks, Brother Munger. So, man, he's like, they need the word of God. They need the word of God. And I'm like, man, Brother Munger, I got you. I said, I'm going to get you lunch, man. I get you that pot pie. So I'm just kidding. But you see the charity, man? Praise God for that, brother. Just taking time to help me out, man. I appreciate that. So, again, church, man, thank you for being so patient and also, you know, that the Lord has blessed us here with some faithful brothers and friends that want to just help us out. All right, church, let's get back to our study book here. Again, this is Friday Night Discipleship class. Anytime, at any moment, raise your hand, ask questions off or on top of the subject, if you will. And we're just here to disciple, and we're just here to ask questions, to keep learning together. We won't keep you too long since the blackout, amen. But if you guys want to keep me long, just feed Brother Carlos. That's all, amen. But I'm recovering from my tooth workout. I had my teeth cleaning yesterday, and I'm nowhere near the pain that Sister Kina had, of course. But, man, after those shots, you know, them big old syringes, they stuck me, right? My mouth, I couldn't open it. I was like, whoa. And so I had to get a can of ravioli. And I had to kind of go like this, and I had to like just eat it and swallow it yesterday. And this morning, it was a little bit more painful. I took some Tylenol while I was working, And I can finally open up my jaw a little bit, and the pain is going down. But, man, that tooth cleaning, that was gnarly. And I was told I have to floss. I'm like, what is floss, man? And then I said, man, guys, I'm looking forward to the day in heaven where we no longer need teeth cleaning. Amen. I'm going to have perfect teeth. Amen. No more sickness, no more pain. Amen. Now I'm looking forward to that. 555 in your notebook study there, one book rightly divided. What we're talking about, church, for those of you guys who have been here for a minute, we're talking about the tree of life. And we talked about its origin. We talked about its location. We talked about its preservation. And then we talked about the future usage and folks and how they're going to have access to it. And so that's the discussion that we're having now. And so let's see if anybody remembers from Bible trivia. Okay, so initially, where was the tree of life? Let's see where my Bible students are at. Where was the tree of life initially? Yes, Garden of Eden. Okay. Adam and Eve sinned and got booted out. Okay. Something happened to it. Where did it go over time? No. It went somewhere else, though. I'll give you a hint. It starts with letter P. It followed that, huh? Paradise. So where was paradise taken, if you will? Anybody? Not yet. We'll get there. Yes, it was in the earth. Amen. Paradise was down there. When Jesus Christ died, rose again the third day. Before that, he accomplished a lot of things supernaturally. We won't get into it now. But after he died, remember he went down and go preach to the spirits in prison. He did his thing. Paul Leon, give me them keys. He walked across the gulf. He met the thief on the cross because he promised him paradise. And on the third day, he led captivity captive. And paradise is where now? In the what heaven? The third heaven. Okay. In the millennial reign, where is the tree of life going to come back to? Yes, earth. The leaves are going to be and all those other trees, as it said, around the throne of God, the healing of the nations. Now, what we were talking about last Friday, where we left off, who's going to have access? How are they going to have access? Is it going to be benefited to some and not to others? And that's what we've been talking about tonight. So before we continue, let's go ahead and do this real quick. Let's go to Revelation 2, Revelation 22, and then we'll go to 1 John 2. So Revelation chapter 2, Revelation 22, and then we will go to 1 John chapter number 2. We talked about this last time, church. I shared this with you. So if you have any questions, just go back on the YouTube and you can watch the last message. But look at here, church. We know that the Lord was given these messages to the early churches, if you will, the first century. And he's writing specifically unto the church in Ephesus. Y'all remember that from verse 1. And he says here, church, in verse number 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So there it is. There it is. It's real and it's still active. Amen. All right. And then let's go to Revelation 22. Look at verse 14. Holy Spirit says here, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. All right, so let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for allowing us to get the power back on, Lord. Thank you for the saints that came here tonight just to fellowship with Christians, Lord, learn some Bible. Lord, we used to do a lot of crazier things on a Friday night, Lord, but I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad to just hang out with Christians that love the Bible. Lord, would you meet with us now as we just desire to give this this time to you? Would you feed us? Would you help us to grow in understanding so we can use that knowledge to be charitable, to help others trust the Bible? And Lord, we thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. Lord, help us all to get back home safely. And I'll sure thank you ahead of time for it. And prepare our hearts, Lord, if you will, it for soul winning tomorrow. And Lord, we just pray for the salvation of our city of Oceanside for souls to be saved, Lord. And we want to give you all the honor, glory, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, look at here. Without sufficiently, and I'm just reading 553. Without sufficiently understanding the depths of the teaching, one might see the word overcometh in Revelation 2 and assume the tree of life is available only to those who earn access through their works. However, to comprehend God's intended meaning, one must gain a sufficient understanding by studying other passages that refer to a saint overcoming. So let's go to 1 John chapter number 2. And this was powerful, in, if you will. It was eye-opening considering the doctrine. And so that's the one thing that we want to encourage you to do here at our church. And as we study as friends, amen, we always want to study the whole counsel of God on any word, any subject, any topic. So that way the Lord can, if you will, give you light and further light on that thing. You just don't want to look at one verse and then build a sermon off it. No, you want to look at all the verses. And yes, the Bible does say study is a weariness of the flesh. You ain't going to like it. Sometimes it's not going to be like, oh, I just have joy doing it. So here's what we do. Brother Joe, we get a cup of coffee. And then Brother Manny, get some tea. We pump it up and you just got to put in the work. And then you just study it out. But that's how the Word of God is going to, it's going to open up before your eyes, because you're going to say, whoa, overcome, overcometh. And then you're going to look at all the verses, right? So look at 1 John 2, and this is kind of what the authors are presenting to us. How does one overcome? All right, let's go to verse 13. Bible says here, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have. All right, let's say that again. Because you have. All right, one more time. Because you have. All right, I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. That's always an encouraging verse. If you don't have a verse to encourage a young Christian, just take them right there, 1 John 2:14. You're strong, brother and sister. Why? Because you got the word of God in you, and then you can, that's a free message right there, brother. All right. So notice, two times, overcome, overcome the wicked one, but why? Look at verse 14. The word of God abideth in you. All right, now let's go to chapter 4. Same book, 1 John, but just go to chapter 4. A couple of pages to the right in your Bible. Bible says here, ye are of God little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So two things that are in the overcomer. The word of God, 1 John 2, and he that is in me, 1 John 4. So there's your message. How do we overcome? Because I received him, I received his word, it entered me. I am, by default, an overcomer over the wicked one, all right? And the world, 1 John 4. Okay, two more. Just turn one more chapter to the right, 1 John 5 and verse number 4. This is one of my favorites. Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God, all right, there it is, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Aren't you glad? And verse 5, who is he that overcometh, there it is, the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So again, it's important not to allow our assumptions to interfere with the reality of God's intended truths. Overcoming has been taught as a work of man or demand for man to work. Yet the totality of Scripture indisputably proves that overcoming is solely upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Overcoming is a God-given benefit granted to those who trust the Lord. In fact, all who are in Christ overcome in him, by him, and through him. According to John, we who are of God overcome because we are indwelt by one who is greater than he who serves as the God of this world. And I posted on Facebook the other day a devotion that my Jesus is greater than your master. And that just has to do with, remember how Jesus said that he that sins is a servant of sin and the master, if you will. And so there's a greater master. His name's Jesus. He can deliver you from the master you have, which is Satan as an unbeliever, man. So he's greater. Overcoming was not the result of the long battle-tested life of one who earned merit and favor with God. Instead, it could be gifted to young men, little children, who have known the Father by the indwelling word, 1 John 2:14. The indwelling God, 1 John 4:4. In other words, men overcome, not by works of righteousness, but by knowledge of the righteous one through believing that Jesus is the Son of God. So if you reread there again, 1 John chapter number 5, this is something that's very powerful. Because nowadays, church, you're going to hear a lot of sticklers. Again, I love them. They're brothers. They're brothers. They're brothers in Christ. I love them all dearly. But they want to stick to a formula, okay? And I have my formula. You know that. We love it. Whether you want to call it the Romans Road or your own method, the ABCs. Look, here's the point. How can you get somebody to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God? That is the most important. However you want to do it, whether you want to say the Trinity formula, whether you want to say, well, Jesus is the Son of God, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Look, That's the belief. If I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that is how I am going to overcome this world. Let me just take you, this is not in your notes, this is just Brother Carlos. Let's go quickly to Acts chapter 8. And the reason I point this out, brethren, is because when those brothers want to, they want to argue with you. And I know they're well-intended, amen. I know that their ideas, they want to prove all things, and that's what we should do. And when we want to go out there and say, well, what's the gospel, and how do you want to preach? Do we preach repentance? Yes, because Jesus taught repentance. The apostles taught repentance. So we know that when we are discussing the gospel, at some point, we need to just tell somebody, look, here's why you need Jesus, because of your sin. And if you're not willing to turn from, and then you fill in the blank, whatever that means in the conversation. Obviously, it's impossible for one to turn from all sins. We know that. That's incorrect. But whatever that person is trusting in at that very moment, because you're talking to them, you let them know, hey, you have an idol. You need to turn from that and turn to the living God, but he's invisible. You like that marijuana, that drinking over here? Hey, you need to turn from that and you need to trust in this God who's invisible. So however you see it in the moment, deliver it, and then just make sure that they can understand that Jesus is the Son of God. That is the most important. So look at here. Go down with me in Acts 8. And I'm glad for the King James Bible because it preserves this verse, amen. Here we have here in verse number 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And so he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, there's your African man, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. When he was returning and sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. You know what he had? He had a copy of God's perfect word. How about that? Amen. All right. So then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. So there's the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Philip ran thither to him. He heard him read the prophet, Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? So there's Brother Manny trying to explain the scriptures to somebody at the party. There's me. There's Giovanni. There's Kina. There's somebody who's just going to take that Bible and say, well, here, friend, here's what this means. And then you give him the explanation. Amen. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So that's cool. All right, 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. All right, for free prayer. Where was that at? Damn, free prayer. He already got two, by the way, YouTube. He knows that comment. I responded, amen. All right, now look at 34. The eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee. So he's asking a sincere question. Of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Who is this guy talking about, Philip? Help me out here. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. Now here's what we need to get to the point. We're all working on it, I know. But look. Preached unto him Jesus. So we're getting to the point, brothers, through discipleship and study and doing all your personal studies, where I can take the word of God and any portion, that's the hope. Somebody says, brother, I have a question. Let me point to you Jesus Christ from here. Let me give you Jesus Christ from here. Let me give you Jesus Christ from here, because the spirit of prophecy is Jesus Christ, revelation, amen. All right, so now look, here's the problem with us, though, because sometimes we want a system. Sometimes we want a bullet point. Sometimes we want to order from verse number 35 to verse number 37. We don't get anything else. But what we get is he preached unto him Jesus. All right, so as they went on their way, they come into a certain water. The eunuch said, seer, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? So again, fill in the blank. How did he know about that? The knowledge, you're going to hear all the sermons. I'm not here to focus on that. I'm just here to focus what he preached. All right, now look at 37. Philip said, now here it is. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Now, before we say what, did he understand the doctrine of the Trinity? Did he understand the doctrine of eternal security? Did he understand the doctrine of spiritual gifts for the church? Did he understand all that? Here's my point. Look, here's Bible. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If that's sufficient for who? Not the pastor, not the church tradition. Go back here. If that's sufficient for the angel of the Lord to be sent by God, and if that's sufficient for, number two, the Holy Spirit of God, for him to be saved by his profession that who? Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's sufficient for salvation. So how do we overcome the world? By believing that Jesus is the Son of God. How do you add to your faith knowledge after the fact? Now that's a different story. That's when you go to a church and you have a pastor or you have some men who are studied to begin to disciple you, to tell you more about the God you believe in. Like, he's a Trinity. There's Father, there's Word, there's Holy Ghost, and there's eternal security, and there's all these other aspects that come along with the first profession of faith that you gave, and it's already there, like it's real. All that is real, but before you begin to learn that or to know that, the initial part was just this little heart that you got to just believe in that man on the cross that he was God's son. And when God the Father heard that prayer from heaven, here's one more calling upon my son, I'm going to save that sinner, because that is the overcoming aspect. So again, here's the Bible. It's not going to fit all the modes and methods that everybody wants to go through. But again, more power to those brothers, however they want to do their presentation of the gospel. But I'm just trying to tell you, brothers, keep it simple. That's it. How do I be saved? Well, believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died for you. And if you believe, you'll be saved. It's real simple. They don't have to profess the Trinity initially, amen. They don't got to profess understanding how to rightly divide spiritual gifts. If we keep it simple, salvation and then discipleship. That's when you do your part, brother and sister, to take them alongside and say, okay, now I'm going to guide you. I'm going to answer your questions now. We're going to show you from the Bible. Okay, this is what this means, and this is what that means. Amen. So overcoming. How to overcome? Believing that Jesus is the Son of God. 1 John 5:4, Acts 8:37. And here's the beauty about being in Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Back to our notes. Look at verse number 37. In Christ, aren't you glad for all the beautiful promises? We have eternal life. We have eternal security. We have eternal salvation. We know that that can never be lost because it was a gift. But how about being an overcomer? How about being a conqueror? Look at Romans 8:37. The Bible says here, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Overcomer, 1 John 2. Overcomer, 1 John 5. But don't you still make mistakes? I know. Don't you still sin? Yes. Don't I still have doubts? Don't I still mess up? Well, that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of the Son of God who you put your faith in. It's his power in you. It's his love in you. It's his spirit sealing you and preserving you. That's how you're a conqueror. That's how you overcame the wicked one. Not because you went toe-to-toe with Satan 2,000 years ago, but he went toe-to-toe to Satan. He went toe-to-toe against death. He overcame death. He overcame the powers of the principalities. He overcame all that. That's why you're an overcomer. That's why you're a conqueror in Christ. Amen. Not Christ plus church and Christ plus church membership and Christ plus good deeds. Them good deeds are good, but they're not going to help you to overcome all day long. They're not going to help you to, if you will, be perfect and have the authority over devils and all that blah, blah. No, no, no. In Christ, friend, in Christ. That's how you're the overcomer, and that's how you're the conqueror. I don't know about you, friend, but I'm glad to be in Christ. I hope you are, amen. All right, so back to the notes here. Men confuse the issue of salvation and rewards when they fail to understand that those who add faithful obedience to overcoming gain special rewards from the Almighty. Let's repeat that once again. Men confuse the issue of salvation and rewards when they fail to understand that those, the faithful, who add obedience to overcoming gain special rewards from the Almighty. And that's true. That's the exact principle that you're going to read about the parable of the talents and the stones. The Lord didn't reward those guys who didn't labor. They made it. They're still a part of the job. Amen. They didn't get laid off, if you will. They still are employed. But the guy who went and did his thing with the five talents, he got five talents more. The guy who did it with the one and the ten, but the guy who didn't do nothing, he didn't get nothing. And so, at the judgment seat of Christ, remember, God is not going to judge. He's not going to judge on a curve, amen? If you put in a little work for him right now, little reward, amen? And who knows if that ain't just like, maybe like this here, a little here, amen? But if you're doing your best to be faithful, a little bit more, a little bit more. Again, like last Wednesday, sacrificial Christianity. Here it is. We have the command to go into the world. We know that. But you know what sacrificial Christianity is? It's going above and beyond that command. I know I got to go and sow in, but did the Bible tell me how long to sow in? Did it tell me the days to go sow in? Did it tell me the hours that I should go sow in? You know what sacrificial Christianity is? I have the command. I'm going to do that part. I know that. But sacrificial Christianity is going above and beyond, and that's the faithful Christian, And before you know it, church, up there, the Lord's going to reward you for your faithfulness down here. But for the brother sloth, brother who says there's a lion in the street, no wonder why they didn't get, if you will, paid much. Why? They weren't faithful. And so there's going to be some benefits to Paul and Peter and the apostles and all the faithful martyrs as we read throughout church history who were willing to die for their faith, and for those who were willing to give and those who were willing to go above and beyond. They're going to be a little bit, they're going to have some special things that the other brothers won't. Amen. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We'll go to Revelation 2 in a minute, but let's go to 2 Timothy 2. Now, when I first read this, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. A long time ago, I didn't quite understand how to interpret this scripture. It was a little scary. I wasn't being taught the Bible rightly divided. But once I began to hear from Bible preachers, I understand this context of this particular verse. So let's read it together. I'll break it down to you the way that I used to read it, and then I'll read it to you the way that the scriptures are meaning for us to understand. All right, now look at here, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 10. Here's Paul the Apostle saying here, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. By the way, that's a reference to the nation of Israel. All right, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now here is this, watch this. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Okay, so who's a born-again Christian here tonight? Anybody here? All right, I showed you Colossians 3 last Wednesday. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with God in Christ. So we are dead in Christ, and we are alive through Christ. So all that, we know that. Verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Okay, so far so good. All right, I got saved. I know I'm in Christ. I know I'm no longer my own. I've been bought with the blood. Before we get to the last half, just stick with me here. I know I got eternal security. I got some spiritual gifts. I know that. But now the last half. There comes the discipleship. There comes the faithfulness. There comes you learning and growing in your faithfulness to the Word of God, your commitment, your calling, your gifting, your obedience to your church, to your family, to everything that God requires of you. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Now, that scared me at the first, brothers, because again, I was, oh, what does that mean, deny? I mean, is he going to undo the work of salvation, if you will, on the cross, and therefore I lose my salvation like a lot of Christians believe and think they can? No. Denial. He is going to deny you. Those things, those rewards, those judgments at the judgment seat of Christ in those areas that you denied him. But you're already accepted in the beloved. You're already eternally secure. You already have eternal glory. So clearly, that's not a reference to salvation. It's a reference to judgment, denying, denial. And it's a reference to something else that he is going to talk to you about. Because look, verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Aren't you glad about that, Christian? Amen. Because like I told you, I'm Brother Moat. I don't read my Bible all day long, 24/7. Number two, I don't rejoice always. Number three, I don't pray always in the Spirit. I don't do that. I'm just being honest with you. I texted Brother Man earlier. I was working on a go-kart. There was no prayer there. I was trying to get this thing ready because I'm thinking about selling it, and I started washing, eating it, if you will, and then I started getting ready, talking to my wife. But I did get in my word, Brother Man. I got on my knees. I prayed to the Lord. Amen. It was a blessing. I was reading my Old Testament scriptures today with my little pocket sword. Amen. But I'm not doing 100% Christianity like I'm supposed to. But aren't you glad that your salvation is not hinged? It's not maintained by you. It's maintained by him. That's why the Bible calls him the faithful word. Amen. He is the faithful one who preserves me, the unfaithful one down here on this earth. If you don't believe that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that's not going to stop him from not leaving you or forsaking you. Aren't you glad about that? If you don't believe that he's able to come through, if you don't believe that he's able to provide all things as we learned last Wednesday, that does not change who he is. He remains faithful regardless of what the sheep down here don't know. And that's what I was trying to share with a lot of you guys back in the day. All these Christians on the earth that are ignorant about this book and about rightly dividing, he is still who he is. He's still the Son of God. He's still the Word of God. He's still the eternal Word. He still saves. He still eternally preserves. He still dispenses gifts unto men. He's still saving men through the preaching of his gospel. But where they don't believe and where they're ignorant, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And so here we have it, denial of rewards. While our salvation is based solely upon faith in the finished work of Christ, our rewards are based upon our faithful obedience to Christ. Faithful saints receive additional benefits due to their faithful service to the Savior. However, all that overcome are promised at least 12 basic rewards from the Lord according to Scripture. So here's what you got going for you. Check one, you got saved. Amen. All right, praise God. I am no longer on my way to hell because of my legal sin being separated. I have received the payment. That is called the atonement, the blood. Oh, you know that. You know that. Here's at least 12 things you got going for you, even if you're just a lazy potato. Are you ready for this? You got access to the tree of life, Revelation 2:7. You're not going to be hurt by the second death, Revelation 2:11. You're going to have availability to eat of the hidden manna, Revelation 2:17. You will receive a white stone with his name written, Revelation 2:17. You're going to be clothed in white raiment, Revelation 3:5. You're not going to have your name blotted out of the book of life, Revelation 3:5. You'll be confessed before the Father and the angels, Revelation 3:5. You'll be made a pillar in the temple of God, Revelation 3:12. Have the Son's new name written upon him, Revelation 3:12. Sit in the throne with the Son of God, Revelation 3:21, and inherit all things as a son of God, Revelation 21:7. How does anyone overcome? Overcoming is based solely upon the blood of the Lamb. During Daniel's 70th week, those who are overcomers are the ones who do not take the mark of the beast. How will anyone resist the mark during that time? Only by trusting God for protection, for strength, and for endurance. But this does not mean that they will not be put to death. Revelation 12, let's go there. Revelation chapter 12, my wife, may you do me a favor, and I think there's a cup of coffee in the refrigerator. Unless Brother Joe handled that, nobody. No, he's good there. Do you mind just giving me that and with a little bit of that half and half, please? Revelation 12, verse 11. Nope, because it's cold, so just half and half, please. The Bible says here in Revelation 12, 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Overcoming, blood of the Lamb, overcoming, believing that Jesus is the Son of God. If you read the previous verse again, because there should be no misunderstanding, overcoming equals blood of the Lamb, words of their testimony. In the context of this passage, the archangel Michael has cast out Satan out of heaven to the earth, Revelation 12, 7 through 9. You can read that. Satan immediately begins pursuing the woman who is Israel. We know that, Revelation 12, 6, 13 through 17. But how does Israel overcome during the most dreadful period? The same way all others have overcome. It is only solely and will only be by the blood of the Lamb. Now, I didn't get this to you, but let's just go quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and then we'll just finish up here on the last paragraph. And like I said, anybody have any questions or comments, feel free anytime, okay? Go ahead, bro. It's a good question. I'm not exactly sure. It's just a description that God had given a long time ago in the book of Genesis. It's off the top of my head right now. Maybe Brother Manny can remember, you know, during the dreams that Joseph was having before he was given over by his brothers, 49, 48, somewhere in there. But it goes back to the dreams of the stars, if you will, and the sheaves. But I'm not exactly sure why it has always been personified as woman or feminine. But it's so Israel, the woman. Oh, the wife of God. Amen. I agree with that. I've heard that before. I completely agree with that. Yep, Hosea. Yeah. There you go. That's it. He reminded us. So Isaiah, Hosea, Old Testament scriptures where the Lord capital is a reference to Jehovah. And Israel is identified as the bride of God the Father, if you will. And the New Testament church is the bride of God the Son. And so two different women personified married to two different men. Because that's what Jesus said. Remember how we talked about two men, or he's not bearing witness of himself. Isn't it not written in your law out of the mouth of two men or something? The Father. Amen. So there you go. That's a unique say on. Just thought about that. But anyways, yeah, so it seems to be personified because in a relational spiritual setting, they're married. There's a marriage covenant bond. And obviously it's an unconditional one because it was given Abraham a long time ago by promise. So his offspring or his descendants, if you will, as a whole, personify in that feminine, that if you will, description as the woman fleeing. Same thing with the church. There's some great sermons you can read about the Song of Solomon. I've heard brethren preach that there's a lot of good types between Christ and the Savior. I'm sorry, Christ and the church, etc. It's some good stuff. So it's mystery form for the church, and then physically for the nation of Israel, if you will. And but that's all I got on that one. Thank you for chiming in. Anybody else comments, questions before we close? Okay, 1 John 3. Let me leave you with this, and then we'll finish with this last chapter, okay? All right, so reward. Why do we believe that? Well, because the Bible teaches that. That's pretty simple. 1 John chapter 3. Salvation is not conditional based upon one's good works. However, salvation should be manifested through one's good works. That's what we should be doing. We should be, amen. Not all, but we should be. Okay, now look at here. The Apostle Paul here writing to the church at Corinth. He says in verse 5, "Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." So again, I like this humility check by the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian in my opinion. "So then neither is he that planteth anything." There you go. There is so much for the pastor acknowledgement, so much for the, you know, all those titles. "Neither he that watereth, but God that gave it the increase." Isn't that a blessing? Paul's like, "Look, I'm nothing, y'all. I'm just the vessel, okay? It's all about Jesus. It's all about God saving sinners. I am just the delivery boy. I'm just the vessel. So I try my best to carry myself." You guys know that when I meet new men all the time, "Brother Carlos, I'm just a brother. Hey, we're out here doing the work. We know what we serve in our gifting and calling," like tonight at that house. "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one." We're one in Christ, amen. Okay, now, "every man," now listen here, "every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." That's why I was trying to share with the church last Wednesday. You cannot survive off your pastor's faith. You cannot survive off your husband's faith, your wife's faith, your family's faith. You have to labor on your own individually, and you will be judged by Jesus individually. Okay, so again, that's a sobering reminder. That's why I love to be a part of a Bible-believing preaching church, because we are constantly being reminded about mainly reading our Bible all the time, right? You're going to hear that. And number two, doing something for the Lord, right? Whether they say soul winning, giving, whatever, blah, blah, blah. All I'm telling you, brother and sister, is you got to start laboring soon. You got to start putting the spiritual pilas on some of y'all, because you're going to receive your own reward. You're not going to be judged with your husband, with your wife, with your children. You're going to be judged by yourself between you and the Holy Savior. And that's why 2 Timothy 2, you denied him. Okay, he's going to deny you here in those areas. What does that look like? I heard some great sermons by some old preachers that millennial reign, man, you're just going to have brothers just kind of hanging out, not really doing much. They're going to be like spectators. While a faithful Manny, if you will, a faithful Giovanni and a faithful Eileen out there, they're going to be out there delegating, because kings and priests, remember that? So as the earth is going to be repopulated, perhaps, Brother Manny's going to get a whole city block over here, amen, for all his faithfulness. He's going to be overseeing that. And then you know what, Brother Carlos, because he wasn't as faithful as Manny, I'm just going to be the street sweeper, amen, right there. Here's Brother Manny. He has we're all one, amen. I can teleport, but I'm just right here with this broom. Why? I wasn't faithful. I wasn't laboring. But that brother was. He's going to get his own reward. Okay, now look at verse number 9. "For we are laborers together with God." I hope you can say that. "You're God's husbandry, you're God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me." So remember, Brother Joe, we talked about that. Grace enables the Christian to labor. It's not only an attribute of God and a fruit of the Spirit, but also the empowerment to serve. He said here, "As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon." So there's your discipleship. There's your how you're growing. You already received the foundation, which is the gospel, but now how are you building on that on your own individually, okay? "Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Amen. Now look at here. "If any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Okay, so I got some Bible thumping brethren here tonight. I want you to do two things for me, brothers. You know who you are. I want you to cross-reference on your own time, and then one of these days, hopefully, maybe you can teach here. Well, watch this. I want you to try this word fire. You know what that Bible says in the book of Hebrews? Our God is a consuming fire. Okay, and then second, are you ready for this? Did you see these metals here? The precious? You saw those gold, silver? Okay, now watch this. I just read this the other day, brother, my devotional. Okay, watch this. Watch this. It's going to be in the book of Exodus or the book of Numbers. Now, it didn't pop out before, amen. That's why reading the Bible is always good, progressive, amen. Let me see if I can quickly find it, and then I just want to show you. I'm not going to teach. I'm just going to say, I just want you to consider this principle. Let me see if I can find it here. Where is it at here? We know the offering is by fire. We know they have to burn them doggone animals, obviously. They got to do all that. But there was something that had to do with the metals. That's what I'm trying to look for here, with fire in the book of Numbers. And then if not, it's in the book of Deuteronomy. Let's see. Oh, that was so good. Man, where was it at? Okay. Well, maybe. Is this it? Numbers 31? Let me see here quickly. Sorry. Almost here. All right. It was up there somewhere. That's why Bible study is so good. I like this software. Yes. Look at here. Real quick. This is free. If anybody wants to buy me a taco afterwards, that's okay. Look. Okay. Watch this. Let's go up here a little bit. All right. So purification, cleansing, you guys can read that context, okay? All right. And do ye abide. So here's the law for the Israelites. Without the camp, 7 days, whosoever hath killed any person, touched any slain, purify both yourselves. Okay, I'm just giving you some context. Purify all your raiment, all that is made of skins, work of goats, purify it all things made of wood. Eleazar the priest said unto the men of war which went to the battle, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded Moses. Only the gold, the silver, the brass, the iron, the tin, the lead, everything that may abide the fire, ye shall make it go through the fire, and it shall be clean. Nevertheless, it shall be purified with the water of separation, and all that abideth not the fire, ye shall make go through the water. Okay, that's it. That spoke to me. That was profound. Scripture. What scripture? What is that fire? It's a purification. It's a purification of my works. So when I get up there, Brother Carlos's slot is called. It's not going to be the DMV, amen. It's going to happen pretty quick. Now, I don't know. Even though it's in eternity, there's no time. But within 7 years after that, the Lord's going to come back. He's going to handle it earthly time within that. But we know in eternity, there ain't no time. So however, the Lord is going to judge every single faithful saint throughout time. He's going to do it in a sufficient time. But when I get to the roll call, first of all, I'm going to be trembling because I'm going to stand before my Savior. My gosh, there he is, glorious in his power and his might and his majesty. I'm going to be on my knees. And as he begins to show me all my works, and I don't know if there's going to be a screen there, brothers or sisters. I don't know if there's going to be a projector. I don't know if I'm just going to be supernatural insight into my life as a Christian. But there's a fire, and that fire is going to try all my works, and it's going to purify it, because now here is the real substance of the sort. But in any of those times when I denied him, my disobeying, any of those times that I was carnal, that thing's going to be burnt. Because I didn't take heed how I built it upon what? The foundation. So now, some of you guys, after you got saved, praise God, you're learning a lot more Bible than I did. Man, you're already ahead of me. So you just have to continue to make sure you're building your life as an obedient Christian, whether you're a single man, single woman, married, you understand here, young children in here. You just got to do your best to keep remaining faithful. And that's how the Lord is going to bless you. All right. You guys want one chapter, or you guys want to call it a night? One more chapter, one more page. This is last page, 556, last page. It's pretty small. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Amen. Revelation 22. Look at verse 14. Let's reread this again, and then we'll close. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Again, it would seem problematic if eating of the tree of life gave someone eternal life, but the tree of life is something partaken at least on a monthly basis in the millennium. We need to consider what the verse actually says and means. Now, again, discipleship, brothers, some of you already know I've been trying. Here's what a good Bible student is going to do within their interpretation of the scriptures. Number one, what does the Bible say? Number two, what does the Bible mean? And number three, what does the Bible mean for me? In the simplest sense, a look at 22:14 shows that those who do Christ's commandments are blessed. One of the blessings obedient men receive is that they may have the right to the tree of life. A careful reading of John's epistles will prove that God led John to record two great truths concerning obedience. One, obedience is a manifestation of one's love, and the love preceded the obedience. John 14:15, John 14:21, verse 23, verse 24, and then 1 John 5:3. Number two, obedience to the commandments of God was the evidence and manifestation of one's salvation, not the driving force that brought it about. John 8:51, and then 1 John 2:3-5. Another great principle to always consider and follow is that God never intended for obscure passages to overrule truths learned from the clear passages. And that's a good hermeneutic, what we call Bible study. What does that mean? Always interpret clear scripture with clear scripture wherever there may be an unclear or something that causes you to say, well, that looks a little unique. You already have 300 verses that make this thing clear, and then there's that one. Always interpret everything with what's already been clear. Much of the divisiveness within the body of Christ finds its roots in the doctrines derived from over-prioritizing hard-to-understand passages. Regardless of the principles applied, at the end, truth is the same. The tree of life will be available to all who know the Lord, but serves as one of the special blessings given to they that do his commandments. Let me leave you with two more scriptures. Unless another brother has a prophecy, amen. We'll call it a night. Look at here in Ephesians 2, and then we'll close in Ephesians 5. Last two. Ephesians 2, and then Ephesians 5. Look at verse number 10. Ephesians 2, 10, and then we'll close in Ephesians 5. All right, the Bible says here, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Good works is conditional based upon your obedience. The Father, he already ordained that all who come to you, Son, here's what they should do. Here's what they should believe. Here's how a husband should love his wife. Here's how a wife should love her husband. Here's how a Christian single man should preserve his body. Christian single woman, preserve her body. Here's how Christian children should honor their parents. Here's how they should be like you, Son, in these areas. But whether they be like that or not, it does not nullify salvation, because we are saved by grace through faith. It is not of works. Whether you're being a godly husband today, brother, you're saved by grace through faith. Whether you're being an ungodly wife to your husband, sister, you're saved by grace through faith. If you're being a disobedient child, a crazy girl out there, a crazy brother, you're saved by grace through faith. But you know what your God's will is for your life? I know there's plenty. I don't have time to get into them, but you know, just go ahead and read 1 Thessalonians, for example. It'll just tell you, this is the will of God for your life, right? Is that you should walk in them. You have been empowered, and you have been spirit-filled, and you have a Bible to teach you how to live a Christian life. Some of y'all didn't grow up Christian. I get it. Some of y'all didn't grow up with a lot of love. I get it. Neither did I. Some of us were abused growing up. I was. But now Christ can teach me how to love. He can teach me how to be friendly. He can teach me how to love my wife. He can teach me how to be a friend. He can teach me how to have compassion. He can teach me how to be patient. But do I want to let him teach me? If you want to let him teach you, he will, my friend. He wants you to walk in those good works. You got to yield. Okay, last one, Ephesians 5, and I'll close. Why do I emphasize this? Because what are those special blessings? Those are given to the faithful. I'm sorry, Ephesians 6. I meant to think the last chapter. I totally forgot about chapter 6. The last verse in Ephesians chapter 6. This is a great sermon anybody can preach on. Amen. Y'all can just take this and give your Sunday school lesson next time. All right? This will be the last verse. Ephesians 6, 24. Can somebody volunteer to read that for me, please? In sincerity. So tonight, the question that you just have to ask yourself between you and the Father, do I love Jesus sincerely? You know what Jesus said in John 14? If you love me, keep my commandments. How can I become a faithful Christian? How can I have right to, we're going to use the principle, to the tree of life? And in general, we're just going to say, whatever that looks like for eternity, other blessings that may be bestowed upon me, here's the lesson. Love him sincerely. Live Christian, sacrificial Christianity. Don't stay within comfort Christianity. Serving him sincerely, loving him sincerely, reading his word sincerely, going to church sincerely. That's what the Lord is going to really look to on that judgment seat of Christ. Amen. So I'll just leave you with that. Anybody have any questions, comments, concerns before we close? Anybody out there? Oh, okay. Very unique there. Stones. You know what's cool about that? Again, I have no idea how that's going to look. That's what I'm saying. This is beyond me. But every single one of you is going to get a new name. Whatever that name is, I don't know. Only he knows. I'm looking forward to that. I could care less about this earthly Mexicano name. Amen. Whatever that. I'm going to go from Carlos to Charlie. He just prophesied. Yes, I received that, brother. Okay, let's go to Revelation real quick. And you know what, brother, believe it or not, but I did get a little good light when I used to be at Calvary a long time ago, Calvary Chapel. The brother taught this pretty solid. It was pretty solid about the stone. Amen. Okay, let's go to Revelation. Let's see if I can find it before Brother Manny. My brother knows how to read that thing. Let's see. It's either Revelation 2 or 3. I mean, obviously, I'm cheating here. Let's see, stone written on his name there. Where is that? Anybody out there? Oh, almost there. Nope. Oh. Anybody there? Anybody else? Ooh. Where is it at, y'all? Where is it at? Anybody out there reading their Bible with me tonight? Brother Gibby, are you reading your Bible there on your phone, brother? Go ahead and type that in there for me, Gibby. Come on, man. You can do it, huh? It says, type in stone in your Blue Letter Bible app, Brother Gibby. If you don't got that Bible app, Gibby, you better download it tonight, little Gibby. Blue Letter Bible. So when you're done playing that little silly game, you can read some Bible, amen? All right. We know he's going to write the new name in verse 12 of Revelation 3. But, oh! Verse 17. Hey, wait, which chapter? 2:17. Okay, so let's go to 2:17. But what's the what's church so we can start some context there, Brother? 8? Smyrna? Okay, Pergamos. Okay, can you go ahead and read that, brother? Go ahead.
And it says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 12, it says, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know that word. Not hold this fast my name, and has not denied my faith, even those days were in Antipas, was my faithful martyr,
wow,
who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth.
Wow.
Now, as there then that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it.
Wow. There you go. So one day, you're going to receive a new name. Now, whether, again, this is just small talk, we know, you already know, whether we'll still recognize each other by our names, most likely. But this particular name, according to the Bible, no man's going to know it except for you. Now, whether we'll be able to identify that name, again, that's brother speculation. We can talk about that over coffee. It's not gonna matter, because the good thing is that you're going to get that stone. He's going to personally give it to you, and it's going to have your name. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God is going to give you a new name? Aren't you glad? He gave you new life on earth, amen. He gave you the name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're going to get a new name. There's a lot of good things this good God is going to give to you. So we should live the best we can for him, amen. Amen. Anybody else here? Last minute comments, questions? Y'all good? Okay. How does one overcome? How is one an overcomer? Or how does one overcome? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was the simplistic, if you will, statement of by this we overcome? By, what did it say? 1 John 5, 4? What does it say? He that overcometh believeth that Jesus is the... Okay. Number two, where is the tree of life right now? Third heaven? Who's going to bring it down back here to earth? I don't know. That's a free one. I know. I got you guys on that one. Where is it going to be at in the millennial reign on the earth? Where? Jerusalem. It may be on the right-hand side of the throne. It may be on the left-hand. We don't know. But it's going to be one of those trees. And who may have right to eat of the tree of life? Revelation 22. They that keep his commandments. Okay, last two. This is important. If we deny him, will he deny us? Yes. Why? Because of our disobedience and lazy couch potato Christian living. So am I going to be judged for my own labor? Yes or no? Yes, not for anybody else's. So, all right. Those are good questions. I know. Anybody else have any provoking thoughts, questions? No. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God tonight, Lord. Once again, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. Lord, you've been so good. You saved us, Lord. And I'm so glad that even when I don't believe you at times, Lord, and I express that through doubt, through worry, through disobedience, Lord, I am so thankful, Lord, that you remain faithful. But Lord, help me to work on me, God. I'm Brother Moat. I am not here to pull out anybody's beam until my moat is taken care of, Lord. Help me to be faithful. Help me to be sincere, Lord. Help me to be a better husband to Katie. Help me to be a better friend to all my friends that are here tonight. Help me to be a better minister. Help me to be a better pastor, teacher. Help me to be better everything, God, because I want to know, Lord, when I stand before you, when I judge the works going through your fire, that precious fire, that purifying fire, Lord, I want you to have a smile, Lord. I don't want to go in there and that's it. So, Lord, I'm striving. You know, my God, I'm striving. I want to go soul winning. I want to be faithful to my church family. I want to be faithful, Lord, the best I can, God. I'm going to do it, Lord, the best I can daily. So, Lord, strengthen me. Keep me in the integrity of my heart, Lord. Help me not to waver or wander. Help me not to return back to Egypt, the world, the things that I used to do, Lord. Help me to stay on the straight and narrow. And, Lord, tonight I pray for the rest of my brethren here tonight, God. I love them all dearly. Keep them in the love of God. May your Holy Spirit empower them to be obedient to the word of God. Strengthen the men here tonight for their calling, their gifting that you place on them. Strengthen those that are married to their wives to support their husbands to fulfill the calling you've given them. Strengthen the single men and single women here tonight to be faithful in their body, pure, and also to be zealous, because they're not married. They can do a lot more for you, Lord. And Lord, in the end, help us to bear one another's burdens. Help us to pray for each other. Help us to be kind and loving, just like you are, Lord, in those basic things. Aside from all this knowledge, oh God, we will make sure to give you the glory for it. Lord, help us to get back home safely, and we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, I love you dearly. It's so good to see all y'all. Brother Manny, you made my night, brother.